Thank you all for being here. I know how nice it is outside and the temptation it is to be outside, so appreciate seeing you all in here. So I'm going to talk about why we're interested in promoting access to EC and other contraceptive services in pharmacies and through pharmacists. As you know, pharmacies are open late. Some are 24 hours. They're open on the weekends and on holidays. And they're more widely distributed geographically than other health providers. Pharmacists, in particular, in 9 states, including California, offer EC pharmacy access services. This is a program in which pharmacists who meet statewide training requirements and are in these states that have legal or regulatory arrangements allow for pharmacists to be authorized prescribers of emergency contraception. So we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. But under these collaborative agreements with physicians, we're able to see that pharmacists are interested in collaborating with physicians and other providers to increase access to reproductive health services. Many young and adult women do not have an established relationship with an MD or clinic, which is why it's important to also have pharmacy access available. And most visit a community pharmacy at least once a month, and in particular when pharmacies are located in supermarkets, even more regularly. So we conducted a national survey of pharmacists a few years ago, and we found out which clinical services are being offered by pharmacists. And of the participating pharmacists in the survey, almost a third of them nationally are providing immunizations as well as diabetes management as part of their scope of practice, beyond what some people tend to think of as pharmacists' role of pushing pills only. In California, the pharmacists who responded to the survey said that 42% of them are actually providing emergency contraceptive services in addition to their regular services. So we convene a national network of stakeholders. We have people around the country, colleagues that we're working with, who are also looking to promote access to emergency contraception, among other contraceptive services in pharmacies. And as the convener of this network, we provide technical assistance, some materials, as Karen had mentioned. We host a national website, gotoec.org, that tracks legislation at the state level of what is going on in emergency contraception, and have in the past hosted a regranting program providing funding to other organizations who are also interested in promoting access in pharmacies. So this past May, we hosted our 6th annual states meeting, and the states meeting was initially dubbed that as an acronym for States Take Action Towards EC Services. And among the folks who came to the meeting were representatives from 13 states and Canadian provinces, as well as national organizations. And this is just a sampling of people from around the country who are participating in the network. They include pharmacists, healthcare providers, and physicians, women's health advocates, and professors from schools of pharmacy. So we host this meeting to share best practices and lessons learned from state-level and national efforts to promote access to EC and other reproductive and sexual health services. So this is just a quick overview of what representation at this year's states meeting was like. The blue states are those in which we had participants this year. So we're all very interested in increasing access to emergency contraception. There are 3 different ways that we are talking about doing this legally in the United States. As you know, for 2 years, we have emergency contraception Plan B available over the counter to men and women ages 18 and over. But Plan B is still kept behind the pharmacy counter. So everyone who's getting it has to interact with a pharmacy professional if they're seeking services in the pharmacy. We heard earlier from Julia that New York is one of 8 states where Medicaid is now providing coverage for Plan B. A lot of states are interested in getting this, but so far there have been 8 states who have been successful in making this change, mostly through administrative change, but some through legislative change as well. And DuraMed, Bard Labs, is interested in and committed to officially making Plan B available to all, regardless of age. And they're in closed-door negotiations with the FDA to help remove the age restrictions. So I mentioned pharmacy access. It's also known as behind-the-counter access, which is an unofficial designation, since in the United States we only have the official 2 designations of over-the-counter and prescription for medications. And this is really important for women in these 9 pharmacy access states. Also, since behind-the-counter access was available, EC access greatly increased in these states. And the FDA is officially exploring a third class of drugs, so trying to make this behind-the-counter as another way for folks to get their drugs. I'm not sure if this is going to happen very soon, but it's exciting to know it's in consideration. And since both of these modalities have been available, both over-the-counter and behind-the-counter, BARS reported that retail sales of Plan B are up 120%. Prescription access for emergency contraception is still an option throughout the country. This is really important for women of all ages. And in those states that don't have Medicaid coverage for over-the-counter access, this is also really important that women can still use a prescription and have their insurance pay for emergency contraception. So at the state's meeting, we discussed national and state-level efforts to advance EC access through policy, media, training and education, and research efforts. And I'm going to present to you a snapshot of the efforts that were discussed at this year's meeting. We heard from DuraMed, also known as BAR, that collaborative practice bills were twice as prevalent in this year's session as last. So collaborative practice bills, just for review for those of you who are already familiar with it, are the ways in which pharmacists are allowed to provide direct access through the pharmacy access program throughout the country. The National Women's Law Center is preparing for the change in administration and working with collaborators nationally to try and increase collaboration and interest for the contraceptive category since they work across the board on women's issues. New Mexico has conducted a legislative study regarding access to EC in their state. In Ohio, they've been working on changing their hospital policy for EC distribution and also have introduced policies requiring pharmacies to have EC. And I'll note that in California, a law was passed a couple of years ago that requires that all pharmacies provide EC in addition to all other legal prescriptions, even if a pharmacist, him or herself, wants to bow out from the process. So the pharmacy has to provide the legal, fill the legal prescription. In Washington, pharmacies are an enrollment site for the Family Planning Waiver, which greatly expands the number of sites that are willing to be involved, and this is something that we're interested in California in doing as well. So organizations in various states have been developing websites to reach national, state, and regional audiences to identify where and how to get emergency contraception. There are new MySpace and Facebook pages, videos that are posted on YouTube, blogs, webcasts, webinars. Many of these efforts are targeted at a teen audience since they're the ones who are most likely the most savvy at using these new technologies. And there are a lot of current efforts also to raise consumer awareness. In West Virginia, there's an essay contest going on. Hawaii has been very successful in doing media technology and placing ads in store restrooms. And the idea also came up of doing a social marketing campaign. Why not put little leaflets in pharmacy counters like you do for Claritin to flag for consumers that they can actually talk to the pharmacist about emergency contraception? Both California and New York have been working on youth-friendly initiatives. In California, we are pharmacy-focused, and in New York, their program is wide-reaching to many healthcare professionals. We developed what you see here is the client confidentiality card, which is a little tear-off card that allows anyone, but particularly youth, to approach the pharmacist and ask for emergency contraception without any verbal exchange. The pharmacist is notified that they would like to get EC in a confidential manner, and the tear-off portion of the card allows the person to hold on to the fax as well as some resource information, hotlines, and toll-free information. We are developing a leadership development institute to create spokespersons in the pharmacy world to speak about these topics intelligently to their community. Many pharmacists are not very public people, so having some pharmacists who are well-versed and interested in speaking with their colleagues about the topics to be more informed is the intent of this institute. There are national efforts to develop a standardized curriculum for schools of pharmacy, so reproductive health topics are also uniformly taught throughout the country in schools of pharmacy. In the states that offer EC pharmacy access training, that is still going on. Several states have EC working groups. Peer education and outreach and communication is really important for youth access, and both Wisconsin and national organizations are currently working on material development. Advocates for Youth has been working in South Carolina and West Virginia on a direct consumer education campaign to train professionals and youth. And BAR is also working on a direct-to-consumer campaign that will include print, TV, and radio. They're focusing on the educational component, what EC is, what it isn't. They've been working with retail pharmacies to increase stocking, and they created a continuing education program that has been met with a lot of success in both chain and retail pharmacies that they continue to promote. So some current and recent state-level research efforts. We just heard from Karen about the Iowa statewide initiative to involve pharmacists in reducing unwanted pregnancy. Ohio and West Virginia are working on a survey of access and availability of Plan B in pharmacies. California and New York have recently conducted national surveys of consumers and pharmacists. You may have seen a poster yesterday about the New York effort. And direct access to Plan B pilot studies in rural and urban areas are being conducted in Wisconsin. So this year's States meeting, although we coined the initial acronym of States, it went beyond just emergency contraception. We're looking at trying to promote additional clinical services in pharmacies. So by doing this, we'd be creating what we call a model pharmacy, where a variety of clinical health services are available in pharmacies. Pharmacists are already providing various clinical services, and they've demonstrated an interest and readiness to expand their scope of practice. One thing that we found that is really important is providing culturally competent services in pharmacies, whether it's for a youth culture or for the culture of the clientele that are being served in the pharmacy. And a way of continuing to enforce, improve the services available in pharmacies and a wide range of clinical services is to have your entree at schools of pharmacy. So we're working with schools of pharmacy around the country, so all new pharmacists coming into the field are interested in providing serving reproductive health services. So these are some of the clinical services that may be available in a pharmacy near you. And some of the major takeaway lessons from this year's States meeting is that partnering with effective organizations to advocate for increased access and additional services is paramount. So some of the organizations have partnered with state and county health departments, the Indian Health Service, sometimes less likely allies as the Poison Control Center. It's very important also to include pharmacy boards and pharmacy groups when you are looking at collaborations that are actually going to be involving pharmacies. Awareness of products and services increases through collaboration. Many people don't know that emergency contraception, among other services, are available in pharmacies. In fact, many healthcare providers don't know. So part of all of our charge is to continue talking and promoting education about access and the wide range of providers that are available to serve men and women in reproductive health. Continue to train and allow pharmacists to provide additional services, and ensure that there's a confidential space to provide services in the pharmacy. We actually worked with pharmacists to provide injectable services, Depo-Provera reinjections, and so these pharmacists all had a private room. And we're finding more and more do have private space. Establish relationships with existing peer groups before approaching providers is really important for the youth programs. And again, define cultural sensitivity for the participating population is very important. We work with schools and community-based organizations to help youth identify role models in their own community in order to promote the youth-friendly programs and youth-friendly serving organizations. And providing materials for duplication to facilitate far-reaching promotion. Why reinvent the wheel when somebody's already created some materials that are effective, that can be distributed nationally? So in closing, I leave you with some factors for consideration. EC is now over the counter for some populations, but those people who do buy it over the counter may find that the cost is cost prohibitive. So maybe relying on prescriptions or, again, the pharmacy access model to cover their prescriptions, their access. And name brand recognition, we may see that to become more of an issue. Some people know EC as EC, as emergency contraception. They might not know it's synonymous with Plan B and the morning after pill. If it goes over the counter completely, is the name going to change? And is this going to create any more confusion for consumers? We need to consider how pharmacists can handle an additional workload. There is more time involved with counseling. And also to eliminate the concern that some pharmacies don't stock EC. We've heard this throughout the country, but by and large, from people who are doing research around the country, pharmacists aren't stocking because of lack of demand. And if we go out there and pound the pavement and continue to let people know that this is something that's available in pharmacies, the demand will be will increase the demand. We need to consider reimbursement for pharmacists and providers for clinical services that they provide, and also to consider that pharmacists are not always eligible to enroll or renew in the state's Title X waiver program. So people going into pharmacies who think that they can get their prescription covered by these may find out that they have no coverage anymore. So. Thank you very much.